T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This segment with Big Cat is brought to you by Ford. Tune in every Monday to Built Ford Tough Bears Monday, brought to you by your local Ford stores. Cat Williams joins us on the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com.
I heard you say Cat Williams.
Yeah, not that Cat Williams.
Oh, man, I'm thinking about it now. Big Cat, you ever get that?
My bad.
People think you're Cat Williams, about 165 pounds with dreads and a dirty mouth.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been confused for Cat Williams. The dimensions are a little different.
Just
a little.
Just a little.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah. I'll just call you Cat. Progress from game one to game two for Mitch Trubisky. Did you see it, and if so, where?
Well, it was an interesting game plan that they put together, I thought. You know, something that we wanted to see, something we've been asking to see since last season. Give people a heavy dose of Howard, throw the ball as little as possible, make as few mistakes as you possibly can. And that's what they did. That's what they had to do versus Baltimore. I think if they had got into a shootout versus Baltimore, it would have been a totally different story. I think that they've got to expand the Trubisky playbook. I think they have to allow him to do a few more things than they allowed him to do versus Baltimore. You have a guy that is comfortable in the shotgun. You have a running back that his best runs are out of the shotgun. You have a quarterback that can throw on the move. You have these things that are in your favor, and I'm not complaining, but you're not using them to the best of your ability, I think, right now. I think when they start using him the way he has built, what he is built for, they start doing the things that he is built for, he will look a lot better. He's not looking bad. You know, he's still a young player. The upside is still great. But we have to see progress. We have to see him do the things that he's good at on a regular basis just to make us feel better about, you know, what we're getting. The ability for them to progress him and, you know, get him to the best of his ability, get him to his peak. They have to show more. You know, I'm okay with the running game. You have to figure out a way to, you know, keep those tight ends from trying to block those big outside linebackers. And, you know, you just have to make some changes in order for this offense to work well. Your wide receivers didn't catch a pass till almost 8 minutes left in the third quarter. You know, you can't have that. You have to find ways to get these guys open, and I understand that we're dealing with a depleted wide receiver, you know, farm system that we have. I mean, we're to the point where you almost have to bring guys in off the street, but you have to figure these things out. Otherwise, they're going to get him killed back there.
You know, I definitely share your desire to see more in terms of the game plan. I think we will. And I'm actually seeing some creativity from Dowell Loggins on occasion. Every beat writer yesterday during the game was saying that what you're seeing, what you're frustrated about, understandably, James, is from John Fox. That it's John Fox who's the one saying, don't throw or don't expand it, looking to win games. So at some point, that could be a conflict in the development of Mitchell Trubisky. I don't think it is right now, but couldn't that be a conflict at some point?
Yeah, I think it is. And, you know, whether or not, you know, it's Loggins as your offensive coordinator, whether it's Fox as your head coach, you cannot stifle Trubisky's fire. You have to get him out there. You have to put him in situations where he can be comfortable. And you have to let him be a gunslinger at times. Granted, not everything's going to work out well. Not everything's going to work out in your favor. He's going to throw some interceptions. Some of them are going to be bad. You know, but he has that. He seems to have that gunslinger mentality. And if you bottle that up, I think you're doing yourself more harm than you are good, even though it's early in his career.
Well, because I feel vindicated for arguing to play him as early as I did, because it's obviously a suboptimal situation. They have no pass-catching talent anywhere. They're going up against good defenses, but you can't tell me that Mitch Trubisky would be learning more and developing more holding a clipboard for Mike Glennon than even with a limited playbook against these good defense and struggling and taking hits and all of that stuff. Like, he is developing, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. You know, 40-40 hindsight, as far as the way Glennon played, yeah, you should have had him in there from the beginning of the season. But, you know, I mean, you live, you learn, and, you know, they've learned. Glennon wasn't the guy for them. Trubisky is going to be the man moving forward. Would we have loved to have seen him opening game? Yes, we would have now, you know, now that we've seen what went on. But he's still a kid. I mean, this goes back to the conversations that we were having when they first picked up Trubisky in the draft. You don't have the things around him to truly see what his abilities are.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that wide receiver core that can get open. I mean, when you see a kid like that scramble, you're still expecting someone to, you know, he buys you 3 or 4 extra seconds, and your wide receiver still can't get open. That's a problem, you know, and I think that's what we were talking about when we were saying, you know, when they first picked him up, that, you know, you don't have things in place to bring a young quarterback in and watch him grow, enable him, help to make him better. And, you know, when during the season are you going to have these things? You're not. So his progression is going to be limited because of the people that he has around him.
You know, the offensive handcuffs are unfortunate as John Fox is trying to win games. But it does create an interesting sort of dichotomy for us to watch. Trubisky did not turn the ball over, did not throw an interception, threw the ball away many times. That's good decision-making and clearly what they want from him from a team perspective. And then when he had to make a couple of plays, the touchdown to Deion Sims and the completion to Kendall Wright show you that he does have it in him. So I guess we're going to have to take what we get. And in terms of what we get, are you seeing the potential when he does unleash it?
Oh, yeah, the potential's there. You know, the potential's there, but, you know, the question is, how much of that potential are we going to actually be able to enjoy this season with the limited amount of playmakers that he has around him? You know, that's my only question. Yeah, I love seeing him out there on the field. I love seeing, you know, him being able to roll out of the pocket, know that there's nothing open downfield, and chuck it to the sidelines. You know, like you said, these are growing points. These are things that he will need in the future, and he might as well start working on now. But I also want to see him be able to roll out of the pocket and chuck it downfield to a wide receiver that has gotten open, that understands the you know, the rollout rules, the when he's in trouble, what spots they're supposed to get to, how they're supposed to get there, and to get open in the process.
Yeah, we'll just wait till next year, and you'll be able to see it. James Big Cat Williams hosts the postgame show. We talk to him on Bears Mondays. They had 3 turnovers. Jordan Howard was great. Kyle Fuller was great. I thought Trevathan was great. Like, where are you confident in the Bears' future beyond Mitch Trubisky, if anywhere?
I think the D-line played well. You know, they were able to get pressure. Early in the game, they had trouble getting pressure. But as the game went on, they were able to get some pressure. They were able to get pushed up the middle. And Floyd and McPhee were able to get a little pressure off the edges. I didn't think the Baltimore tackles played very well. But, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. When an offensive line isn't playing well, you have to put pressure on the quarterback. And I think the Flacco looked confused at times. He didn't seem as crisp. And, you know, you have to give part of the credit to the defense. I thought the secondary played well. You know, you're looking at a guy in Fuller right now that is having the best season, I think, that I've seen from him. And whether or not it was, you know, the threat of being cut, being released, or, you know, maybe something just clicked for him, but I think he's playing a lot better. I think Amos is playing well right now. You know, just being able to play downhill, get some good contact hits in, being around the football. And, you know, that's what you want from your safety position. So I think the defense is, you know, looking up to par. You're still dealing with the issue of limited backups as far as how much talent your backups have. And when you have as many injuries as the Bears have on defense right now, to still see them playing well, you know, is a positive. That lets you know that some of these young guys are, you know, on the brink of being able to help sustain this defense. If one guy goes down, the next guy up is able to play that position at a high level. And that's what we're looking for out of this team, both offensively and defensively.
James, maybe this is a question more for Olin, your post-game partner, but maybe you guys have talked about it. Can you have the yips on shotgun snaps? I mean, Cody... Cody Whitehair looks like Steve Sachs trying to throw it to second base. You know what I mean? Like, what has gone on? Because Trubisky had to save a safety, and he did so athletically at one point. What's happening with Cody Whitehair?
Yeah, it's funny. That's exactly what Olin said, that Whitehair has the yips right now.
Hmm.
And Olin compared it to a golf swing. He's like, once that golf swing gets altered, once you screw it up even more trying to fix it. You know, it's a rhythm. It's an unnatural process that centers have to go through as far as snapping the ball, getting that snap hand up. And once you screw those mechanics up, you know, Ola brought up a good point. He said, you know, the change in quarterback could have also had something to do with it. As just as far as, you know, the way he calls his snap count at the line of scrimmage.
Oh, I mean, if he's going over Trubisky's head, I mean, that's only waist level for Glennon, so I guess that's possible.
Yeah, but each quarterback's terminology is different. Not their terminology, but the way they bark out their snap count. And... you know, if you're expecting one thing and you get a little hitch in your giddy up as far as snapping the ball, I could see where that causes you to maybe snap it high, maybe snap it low and to the right. But you've got to figure out a way to fix it. It's something that has to be fixed. You're depending on the interior of that offensive line to be very good for a very long time. So this is something that has to be straightened out, and it has to be straightened out in a quick period of time.
James Big Cat Williams will be listening to your post game after Bears and Panthers. We'll talk to you next Monday.
All right, guys. Have a good week.
Thanks, James.
Thank you. You as well. The segment brought to you by Taco Bell. Taco Bell's $5 cravings deal. Get a cheesy gordita crunch, a burrito supreme, nachos, a crunchy taco, and a Baja Blast, all for just $5.
Plenty of time for your phone calls rest of the way. I know there's a couple bits of audio, one especially that is really funny from over the weekend that we need to get to.
Yeah, we will get just. I don't want to risk not playing the audio.
That's what I'm saying.
So we will play that audio coming up next. Because if you thought Sam Rosen was bad on the Bears game, we got some good old guy audio for you next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
For the last time, anything you put on that prompter, Burgundy will read.
Oh, did we have a classic from over the weekend? The audio brought to you by the Private Bank, now CIBC. The Private Bank is now CIBC. Their name may have changed, but their commitment to your business is now stronger than ever. Visit CIBC.com/us, member FDIC. We had Sam Rosen on the broadcast for the Bears game.
That's right, and Alex O'Donnell. Yeah. Instead of Pat O'Donnell, he gave us an Alex O'Donnell.
Hey, these things happen.
Eddie Coleman with the sack up the middle.
Eddie Goldman. These things happen, man. What do you always say? Open mouth, say things.
Yes, it's true. And you did one a couple of weeks ago. I love when you were promoting some kind of a Bernstein and Goff live appearance, and it said join them at It meant to say join them at approximately 1 o'clock. But it was shortened to a prox.
Because, well, it was approximately for the post-game show that was also there. So the post-game was going to start after, approximately whenever Monday night ended.
But it was shortened to a prox.
Yeah.
And then you thought that was the name of the bar.
Yes. Because it was like, join them at a prox. I was like, oh, awesome. But they gave the time first before the location. And I thought a prox was a hot new spot.
Oh, man. It's a great place. I don't know exactly where it is.
Right.
But it is a really cool place. A prox.
So if you thought that Sam Rosen was having the Parkins moment or the misspeak or whatever, wait until you get a load of Dick Stockton, who owns homes in both Florida and Arizona.
You nailed that.
We learned on this show. He's doing Rams and Jaguars, and yeah.
Kurt Terry, Howie, Michael, and Tony look on graphic for the final two bullet points.
He's talking about the post game show. He's teasing it at halftime.
That is so great.
Listen again. Imagine him. He's setting up the halftime show with
he's
everybody.
Doing the promo.
He's
doing,
just reading the promo.
Kurt Terry, Howie, Michael, and Tony look on graphic for the final two bullet points.
That's what it said on his sheet.
So
look
good.
On graphic for the final two bullet points.
It's so good.
Oh, that's tremendous.
Look on graphic for the final two bullet points.
It's like on my SeatGeek app. It's like, football is back, and you can catch every insert local team here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
well, one time, the legendary one, the one I always think of, is there was a moment years ago when our friend Dan Jiggets on this radio station said, he tagged a spot with, and tell him your name sent you. Make sure you tell him your name sent you.
That's a great tip. You go up to the bar and you're like, your name sent me. What? Oh, here's a free Bud Light.
I know I've done something like that. I'm sure I have.
I would assume multiple times, right? I mean,
read last two bullet points.
What is 5% of 100?
Oh, right.
Yeah, exactly. You say really ridiculous things.
That was Dick Stockton, and I don't know if that is quote of the year material for Dick Stockton. He has won it before from
multiple times.
What did he win it for? I want maybe Tanny will remember. It's like I forget what Stockton won it for.
He has his own category now.
He does have his own category on the afternoon show.
That's great.
For the Dick Stockton Award, because he's multiple times he's done it. I thought of the quote of the year show when I saw Chip Carey at the the Nationals Cubs game. Saw Chip Carey a couple of times, and all I kept thinking of is the last year that he did games on TBS. There's a line drive caught out there. Base hit. Right? Looping line drive, base hit, caught out there. It was actually caught. He called it a base hit before.
Can we get the first sideline report hit of the Bears game also? Because if you've ever spoken in front of a microphone, you can relate to this moment. I was horrified as this was happening.
Let's go down to the sideline. Christina Pink is standing by. Christina.
Well, hey, Sam. The focus has been on Mitchell Trubisky making his second start, but take a look around the Bears' offense. The youth movement does not stop at the quarterback position. He'll be taking snaps from a second-year center, handing the ball off to a pair of running backs who are both mostly in their second career, second season. Mitchell Trubisky will be handing the ball off to those two guys. The pair of wideouts are both in their first career starts. Would make an offensive coordinator nervous, but not Dow Loggins. He said he's confident in the guys.
Thanks, Christina.
Oh, that sucks.
Man.
That is a teleprompter error. It's got to be.
You think so?
I think
there's no teleprompter on those sidelines.
No, I don't think there's any prompter on the sidelines.
That's just you get caught up in your sentence structure and you panic and you forget like rookie Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard, and that's just a tough spot.
She had a little, she was kind of the female Sergio dip for a moment there, but it's a, it happens.
I mean, it happens all the time.
All the time. Think about what she's trying to say. It's Jordan Howard's second year. It's Tariq Cohen's first year. Both the wide receivers are starting their first games.
Yeah. I'm just like, you got to pull the ripcord, right? Like you got to hit the eject button somewhere, but you have a place in your mind and where that sideline report's supposed to end. It felt like hearing it back, it was like, oh, that was only like 20 seconds. It's not that bad. Watching it, I felt like it was 3 minutes long.
You know, it's time for an update from Anchor on Duty.
3-run homer for Adolfo Soriano.
Scoreboard update.
I literally got sick to my stomach when she started stumbling. That is the worst feeling.
Oh,
in the world.
Absolute worst.
God. It's terrible.
We'll come back, and I mean, we'll be back in Chicago. So I don't know, our fans are going to be there. They're going to be loud. We have a lot of support. And before you know it, series is going to be tied.
Carl Edwards and his never-ending confidence saying the series is going to be tied soon. The audio brought to you by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Ready for a bad cold and flu season? A cold is a cold, but flu brings fever. Be prepared with the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, backed by medical professionals everywhere.
Had the Cubs had home field advantage, game one would have been canceled, right? Game one would have been postponed on Saturday. Dreary, bad, rainy day.
Yeah.
As it stands, 0% chance of precipitation for this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Sunny on Tuesday and Wednesday with a high of 69.
Nice.
Mostly sunny on Thursday with a high of 68. Should make for very nice fall evenings at the ballpark. Low of 49 on Tuesday, low of 52 on Wednesday. Going to go to some of the games?
Yeah, I plan to. I plan to be out there one way or another, either in the stands or on a press pass for the majority of it. Late start. First pitch after 8 o'clock, right? On Tuesday?
We are...
Is it all the games after 8 o'clock?
I know Wednesday is still up in the air very much so.
Okay.
Wednesday is still up in the air as to potential starts. Are they locked and loaded for Tuesday after 8 o'clock?
Yeah, I saw it was like 8:08 first pitch or something like
that. Okay. And then Wednesday is I think, either 8 or 7. So we'll see how much.
Yeah, I see Wednesday as the 8 and Thursday as the 7. I see times for all of them.
You declared times for all of them.
I see declared times for all of them.
8, 8, and 7, essentially.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then Saturday would be a mid-afternoon, 3:08 first pitch, and Sunday would be a 6:38 first pitch.
Which is what it was last night.
Yeah.
A little bit just after the football had completed.
Which is nice. Bears into what yesterday was Chiefs Steelers and some red zone into Cubs.
Yeah, I was
a solid 10 hours of doing nothing yesterday. Really spectacular. I'm great at doing nothing.
Oh, I know.
On a Sunday.
Hey, man.
World class.
I'm here every day for 4 hours. Yes,
true. Right. Absolutely.
All right. So here's the guy who's got to be in the lineup for me.
Okay.
It's time for Ian Happ to get more plate appearances. He's got a total of 5 plate appearances on the postseason. Now, I know he can be strikeout prone, but the dude had what? More than 400 plate appearances during the course of the year. Bleacher Nation wrote about this as well. I think he was 9th. Ranked of all the position players in terms of plate appearances, had a hell of a rookie year. And you know, as a righty against lefties, not as good. And so the argument has been for Almora more over Happ, but against the righty,
Almora had a home run.
Yep.
In game one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But against the righty, Yu Darvish, game 3, give me Ian Happ. And so what does that mean? Where am I going to play Ian Happ? Second base? Or right field. I think Zobrist will be in. So I think Zobrist and Happ, between the two of them, they'll take care of second base and right field. But I hope Ian Happ gets a start.
I feel like Joe is going to stay with, because Joe loves, you know, his consistency and all of that. And with Hendricks and pitching to contact, I'll believe it when I see it with Pullen, Baez and a Hendricks start. Maybe you're right, and I'm totally for it, and I've told you offense over defense and all of that, but to me, Schwarber's in left, Jay's in center, Baez is at second, and Zobrist or Happ is in right over Jason Hayward. I don't think you get both of them, because I think he wants Baez.
Maybe this will be the Hayward center field start game.
Maybe.
Because lefty.
Schwarber in left, Hayward in right. Or excuse Hayward me, Hayward in center. Happ in right.
Zobrist at second. Zobrist is going to be start that way and then make moves for defense later on.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be fine with it.
Some people might argue for Listella. I'd be shocked if that happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think
you want to get Listella in at third base and move Bryant to left?
They will not do that. I think Listella was a reasonable pinch hit option in the ninth yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But I probably would have gone Schwarber and over him. But I think Listella was a totally reasonable pinch hit option yesterday. But starting him over those guys, no, I don't see that happening. Do you think he'll go away from Bias? You sounds like you're predicting that he will.
I think he will against Darvish, even though it's Hendricks and Hendricks pitches to contact, et cetera, in the defensive lineup. I think he will, just like he went away from Bias against Scherzer. I think he'll go away from Bias against Darvish again, just for like the first five innings or something like that. Although, maybe, I mean, he could play Bias at third, I suppose, if he wanted, but he's not going to move Bryant.
No, he's not going to move Bryant.
Bryant's been fine defensively, and Bryant and Ozora guys, you're just going to leave right where they are every game and just let them do their jobs. Try to recover.
Yeah, right? And people are, you know, for Avila or something like that, Contreras is going to catch, Rizzo's going to play first, Russell's going to play short, Bryant's going to play third.
This could be an Avila catching game starters. Well, Contreras ends up in there for the last three, four innings, something like that.
I'd be very surprised, man. I think that go with the guys that have brought you there is how Joe will handle it. Now, Hap or something like that is a legitimate argument, I guess, but the talent gap from Contreras to Avila is pretty significant.
No, you're right.
You know what I mean? Like, I just can't, that's way too drastic.
All right, so we stay Wilson, and we'll see. Hopefully the lineup is out by the time we talk to Joe tomorrow. If not, we'll press him on it.
Yeah, he's been fairly forthcoming with lineup stuff when he comes on with mm-hmm. us, and I would think with a later first pitch, it might not be out by the time we talk to him, but yeah, I mean, it's somewhat looking back with Joe tomorrow, obviously, but a lot of it is, okay, backs are up against the wall. It's on your players to produce, but how much of this do you put on yourself? We talk to him about second-guessing all the time, mm-hmm. so I'm excited to talk to Joe tomorrow at noon.
I wondered when Joe got kicked out on Saturday night and Dave Martinez inherits the sad lineup card or the sad...
Yeah, the stare.
The sad bullpen options. I think it was Bob from the West Loop, I think, asked you and me, if he's looking at the same list of Joe Maddon's dead relatives.
Yeah, it doesn't make him quite as sad as Joe, right, if it's Joe's relatives.
Or if it's Dave Martinez has one of his own.
Of his own.
Dead relatives.
Yeah, once you make all of those shifts, you know what I mean? It just gets a little depressing late in games. But he's got better options than the Cubs do.
Check out our live video stream at 670thescore.com. Brought to you by Marvel Universe Live. And if you're watching, you see a whole bunch of cool Marvel stuff around.
That's pretty cool.
It's going to be at the Allstate Arena, November 2nd through the 5th. Marvel Universe Live.com.
We will transition and talk to Bernstein and Goff next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.